It is my great pleasure to welcome back to Many Rivers Books and Tea Professor John Stevens, sensei, as I heard many of you addressing him, of course, earlier. I'm guessing that many people do not need much of a introduction to him or his work, but of course, he has written 30 books, and I, as he said in what he sent us, on all manners of subjects: Buddhism, Asian calligraphy, Zen art, poetry, sex, and a novel. And that obviously is not exhaustive of all the topics covered, but go right ahead. So, we're delighted to have him for this special event. We're delighted you could all join us for this. Please join me in welcoming Professor John Stevens. Thank you.
Aloha, everyone.
You used to say aloha.
Aloha.
You know, when you say, like, oh, or whatever it is, so when you say aloha, then the response is aloha. So anyway, this is the genesis of how Aikido ended up on a zombie series. And I was in, you know, this book was written 30 years ago, maybe 35 years ago, and I was always really proud of this because, you know, in some ways it was channeling. I've always thought, well, if the founder of Aikido could speak English, how would he express these ideas? So it wasn't a direct translation at all. And, you know, there's the original there. Some of this is oral. I mean, handed down to, I heard this. You know, like in Buddhist scriptures, thus I have heard. So that's what it went. And some are poems, and some are just things that meant a lot to me. Sorry. So the real challenge was to make the book flow, you know. I think it's really, it goes this way, it goes that way, so they're all related. And that was the hardest part, was putting it together so, you know, one page and leads to the other. So I hope you noticed that. So it's not arbitrary at all. It was just, that's a miracle. Anyway, you know, and so it came out, and it was a big hit. Not a big hit, but a relatively big hit for an Aikido book. So, you know, it was whenever I travel, somebody always has a copy of it. So a lot of people read from it. So tonight we're going to do that too, just open the page and read from it. And then I was, it was kind of a standard Aikido book. And I was traveling, and I think I was in Europe, and then the producers of Walking Dead, which I did. I just saw a glimpse of it one time. God, this is, you know, terrible. And so, but the producer of Walking Dead contacted Shambhala, and they said, look, we'd like permission to use this in the show. And then they contacted me, and I said, no way, what, are you crazy? And but they went into production, they'd been in production already, because they assumed that I was, of course I would say yes. Because I didn't realize the power of product placement. And they said, nobody would turn that down, you know? I realized later. And I said, no. And then they said, they were panicking. They said, look, we've already started the film, the series. We can't stop. And I was, you guys said, you got to pay me. I didn't realize how much it was worth, you know? And they, what do you want us to pay you? I said, so they said, okay, well, before that, you know, they thought, well, hell is the best place to practice, right? Everyone's against you. So this is the one place you need the art of peace. And so then I said, okay. And then so we, you know, signed the contract out, and they sent me a copy of the script, you know, for your eyes only. Secret. And they had John Stevens across it, so I can sell it. I can sign it and say John. and they said non-disclosure, you know, $1 million or something like that, if you leak it. You know, and then the funny thing is, I was staying with my friend's house in Haarlem, it's in northern Holland, and he was so upset, he said, you take that off my computer. Immediately. Get out of here, I don't want that. So that was a little tense. I didn't hear anything for a year and a half, maybe, nothing. And then they didn't even tell me when it was going to be broadcast, because I didn't think they really knew. You know, it changes the story. And so, you know, TypeScript or the, what do you call it? The script? Yeah. And, you know, it's okay. And then somebody came on TV. And then I got a call from the publisher and they sold 20,000 copies the first day. So product placement works. And of course they ran out of copies, right? I mean, they sold every copy they had. And then it was it was the number one martial art, best-selling martial art book on Amazon for a while. It was on New York Times bestseller list.
Wow.
After 35 years,
I'm back!
I was famous again. But, you know, the nice thing was mostly non-Aikido people. You know, it was a whole new generation of people who are touched by it in a different way. So that was very gratifying. And so I think, like in half a year, it was 80,000 copies. And who would have thought? But it was there. Maybe, you know, it's very encouraging. It really is. And that people got the message in a different way. You know, I keep it to preaching to the choir, right? But it went to... And often, you know, people tell me how much it meant to them. You know, I mean, in my family, or my kids. There's my son's back here.
I have a question.
Yes.
So how do you watch that then?
I finally watched it.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you what you think of it, because I thought it was okay, actually.
Mm-hmm. That's my question is, what did you think of the way it was presented in the show?
I was not happy. You know, I mean, I didn't want to see it because I thought I would be unhappy. And,
right.
But it's too late for one, right?
Yeah.
I can't complain.
I did.
But maybe I was afraid to see it, actually, because I was, you know, I didn't, maybe the presentation was terrible. And I'd really be upset about it.
Yeah.
But it took me a while to, I don't know how to use a TV or anything like that, or YouTube, so I had somebody got it for me and showed it to me. No, I was at somebody's house. And they put it on. And Aikido Bird says, you got to see it. And they said, okay. So they showed it to me. You know, but the thing is, I was gratified that it was actually part of the story. You know, it was integrated. And I just, you know, they showed the book. Did he throw it to him or something?
Threw it.
I didn't like that so much. But yeah. I thought, but never throw the sword, never do that kind of stuff.
wondering if the... any of the katas that he was doing.
No, that's not Aikido, that's karate.
I'm not.
It would have been much nicer if they had Aikido on it. Mm-hmm. They said, I don't know why they didn't ask me. Because somebody knows that, one of the producers knows Aikido, right? That's why they put it in there. But then they got, you know, that's karate, I think, kind of kata. Yeah. Which would have been nice to Joey, didn't we? We had somebody do that. Yeah. But then, anyway, it's kind of hard to use the jodo, right? Because they just went like this, but you know, when you do that kind of stuff. But. But they didn't tell me it's going to be on or anything like that. It's like, you know, whatever after that. They got what they wanted. And then they looked at it and, you know, I thought it was okay. I mean, I would have done it differently, but I sold the rights.
That's if I may, the thing that... Because I'm not a huge fan of the show, but I saw that section because, of course, of the book, and I thought that it was beautiful. That it, you know, this is a fantasy time. Uh-huh. And it's very dystopian, and everything is out of order.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
And here's this man that's been broken, and he's
Morgan?
Committed great, terrible.
Morgan
acts.
Is that guy? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Is he a hero?
Committed terrible acts. He's killed many, many people.
Many zombies or many people?
Well,
or
both. Uh-huh. Right? And his heart is gone and his soul is gone. Uh-huh. He feels. And this book brings him an order and it brings him some peace. And then he then goes into the world in a very different way.
Does he?
Refuses to kill anyone ever.
Oh, good.
So there is a
oh, that's good.
An extraordinary
good.
Weight to this kind of, you know,
okay.
Fantasy
thing. I want to know what you think about it, because I, you know, the people who actually saw it and what, you know, they thought it was. I know it's tasteful, but for a zombie movie, it's no, it was really hard to me. It took me a long time to look at it, And then also my Aikido friends, they said, you got to see it. And then they saw it. So, you know, just a Joe thing kind of bothered me. But respect, right? What we did this weekend in Tug Respect and learning discipline and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think it's okay. But because I had a lot of people who would buy the book then to think about it. And then, so that was really positive.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's kind of beyond my control sort of thing. It just happened, and then one thing led to another. But I haven't, this is the first time I've ever given a public talk about it, you know. And, you know, my friends, I used to go on TV, and I think there's some kind of program about the Walking Dead, the contents, and they wanted me to go on it and talk about...
The Talking Dead.
The Talking Dead? Is that it?
Oh, yeah.
But I, you know, I said, no, I didn't want to do that. Like, Talking Dead, they interview and they talk about, you know, this guy and stuff. But I said, no. So that's pretty much the story, and it, changed a lot of people's lives, which is, that's what it's for, you know. And people read it in a different way. And for, and I, you know people at work, they say, when the employees go out for a break, they take on and read it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're having a hard day, I guess. So, it has a life of its own. And it's alive. And, I mean, it's not me in here. It's just a gestalt, you know? The whole thing of it. So, who would have thought? But the thing is that, you know, it's the exact last place you would think of this kind of book ending up. I can see if it's some, you know, inspirational programs, something like that. I don't know if it's an inspirational in a zombie movie. Why are there zombies? What happened? How are they created? I mean, in the program, I don't know anything about it. No?
Nobody knows?
Were there zombies?
Is there like a CD, you know, disease control, like the...
Yeah? It goes berserk or something?
A mutant virus gets, escapes, you know,
uh-huh.
Kind of thing.
Yes?
I know what zombies are.
Yeah?
The workers in the Caribbean, like in...
Oh, yeah, I know what zombies are. I just, why are there zombies in a TV program?
Oh.
The Walking Dead. So
why are there people like that walking around?
That's the big mystery. We don't
know. Oh, it's a mystery?
Well, we don't know yet, but there was a scene in like, the second season where they talked about, like, one person from the CDC was saying that, you know, when... you die, everybody's actually infected with some kind of, with this virus.
Oh,
and then
terrible.
When you die, you actually are reanimated as a zombie. So we know that much, but we don't know how that happened and how people
got
globally infected.
They eat people? So if they eat you or bite you, then you're a zombie?
You technically don't. I think the infection kills you, and then the virus that you were infected with, you know, kind of reanimates.
Oh my God.
This whole zombie idea was kind of invented by George Romero in about 1970 with his movie Night of the Living Dead.
Black and white.
Yeah, I know that.
It's
kind of his rules of operation that got borrowed by this show with maybe a few inventions.
Oh, okay. I got that. So,
you know, when you said, who would have thought about that? What came to mind was that Osensei went into the Japanese military.
Yeah.
With the artist, the calligrapher in Berkeley, I think.
Tanahashi's father.
And the person he engaged with turned around and became a force for peace within the Japanese military.
Yeah, that's the story. But
I don't know the details of it, but that's the story.
Well, that's the hidden history. It's the whole thing about World War II and the right wing, left wing, and... even then, those ideas are there. He was saying the same thing before the war, then after the war. The reason why I have Aikido is because of World War II. No more death, destruction. This was my teacher told me. And he was a military officer. No, all these terrible things that should never happen again, can't happen again. That's why we have Aikido.
Mm.
It's a social movement.
Mm.
You know, it's not a.
So here's my question, which I thought was on target for this. That whole Walking Dead show, is kind of a long meditation on death in society.
Yeah.
It's like these people are dead, these people are not. There's this moment when, oh, suddenly you never know what your last day might be. And I know you're an authority on, as much as an authority as I'm going to ever meet, on how on how Japanese people think about death, and maybe the whole martial arts idea about death. And there's this kind of glamorization of it, maybe in
the death. Yeah. So the hagakure, the first line is Bushido is learning how to die, and Osensei would say no, Bushido is learning how to live, mm-hmm. fostering life.
So I guess my real question is, like, how do you think in America we get that Japanese idea wrong? Because I think we get a lot of these Asian ideas wrong as we try to bring them in to our culture.
Yeah, well, you know, now there's no East or West, right? I mean, anything you want to study, anything is on the bookshelves here, probably in the town, right? You can go anywhere you want within 10 miles, any kind of spiritual discipline. So the thing, it's up to us is the... is, you know, integrity. Like translators were saints in Tibet, right? Because to make the transition from what the original language is. But starting with Buddha, you have to express it in your own idiom. So I kind of understand, partially understand the message and also the language and all that kind of stuff. I lived in Japan 35 years. Mm-hmm. But so when I did this, doesn't sound like it was written by a Japanese, right? Mm-hmm. I think it wasn't, because this is what I was hearing, you know? And so when I'm writing this, it's almost like automatic writing. You know, it's just this, and then I had to do very little editing, and I didn't want too much on a page, you know. Mm-hmm. Just enough, you know. And and also put the calligraphy in here, you know. I think that's a very nice element. Mm-hmm. This is Kami, God, divine. It goes from up here down. This is beautiful. It really is beautiful. I mean, it's modern art. Mm. It's fine art, you know, as a brushwork. So, you know, all of these books, you know, I get some people on, so doesn't really say that and this and that, but if I translate it the way it actually said it, nobody would understand it. Mm. What good is that? Mm-hmm. You know, so... And so I thought if I put Osensei's talking and all this stuff, and then I'm thinking, how would I explain it to you? So it's kind of a yes.
So how did the book actually come about? How did it originate?
Well, so I said, I don't know, I just wanted to do it. I wanted to do something. And then, you know, it's also personal, right? So things that I liked, I would write down. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you know, Shambhala came out with those little pocket things, mm-hmm. pocket editions, and so they asked me to do one. That's okay. They also asked me to do a comic book recently, a manga. I can't do it. I just can't write a manga. You know, it's screenwriting. You know, mm-hmm. And I think it would be pretty good if I wrote one, but I just can't. You know, I just it's something you can't do.
Right. Sensei, is the calligraphy inside the book all yours too?
No, it's always from Osensei.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And also, what calligraphy should you put in here? It was really important. And where should you put it? You know, and it kind of it went where it should. You know, it's like Zen art, and if you buy it, it goes to the right place in your house. You know, it finds any art, right? If it's good art, it goes where it's supposed to go, right? You think, where should I hang it? But pretty much, it's hang me here. How art is it? You try to move it, you can't move it. So this is also his kami, but and you know, I can't even remember writing it. Just sort of happened, evolved.
Do you still agree with everything you wrote now?
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. And I can't, you know, I think, you know, a lot of my books, when I start reading them again, you know, I wish I had to change this, I wish I had to make, you know. But, for the most part, I think it's really pretty good. And a couple things that, you know, the tone, it's kind of pushy, sort of things like that. But just as me, you know, and some things that, but really, pretty much, you know, I think it's okay. And for this, I think, is a real treasure, because I read a lot myself, and it still inspires me. So I think this has, this would be a long time hit classic, which I'm very proud of. But it's not me. You know, it's the sayings, but it was filtered through me and from my experiences in our language. So I'll see what the language should be as eloquent and literary as possible. That's all right. To find the translations of literary. I mean, it's not mixed up or, you know, Japanese English or whatever it is. So,
is there is there one particular passage in there?
We'll see. We're going to open and read some. We'll see what comes up. Shut up. Don't talk so much. So this, yeah, we just talked about this during the seminar, right? We had a thing, we talked about the diagram here. So this is the, so what is Aikido? And the center is Su. Su is like Om in Aikido. So Su. Su, you, mu. So Su is birth in the seed syllable. So from father and the mother, red and the white in the ovum, and then you spiral out, and the word Japanese word you is existence. You, it's also this you, but existence. So you come into existence, you, and mu, you know, mu, you go somewhere. You go on. But I don't, you know, su you mu. No, su you mu. Like coming back. So if you su mu means it's really finished. You know. So the idea is it's going. Yeah. So we don't really know how it's going, but it's going. So that's what we do in Aikido for chant. Koto Dharma. Koto Dharma means word spirit. And so whatever, all over the world, right, people have that. They do that. So this is our, this we have our culture. And our culture is to do this, explain it to them. So, but that's pretty good. We just talked about it over the weekend a lot, right? And that's what I opened to. So, there's a reason for it. And a lot of people, I think, use it all the time. Before training, they always, you know, pick out a passage. And as yesterday, Carla's Dojo, right? So you have quotations from all over the place on that. Those dojo walls. So, any more questions about the book? And then we'll the Genesis. Yes.
Can you say more about why it's so difficult to translate the Japanese to the English?
Well, I think it's any language. You know, and my son's a professional simultaneous interpreter because he grew up in Japan. So we're talking about the way up here about the art. And he's a stand-up comedian as well, so he's really popular. he's really funny. You know, he goes to the Pentagon, right? And translates that kind of stuff, and he makes people laugh. I mean, that...
I make up everything.
See? So, yeah, we talked a lot today, yeah. We talked on the way up here about, you know, how to... He says he has business translations, or... He translates for everybody, right? For all the presidents and George Lucas and who else? Stevie Wonder?
The Clintons.
The Clintons?
People in prison.
Yeah. But the voice is very important, right? You can. We won't say who you didn't like. Or, you know, who was sincere and who wasn't. George Lucas you like, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so, in his case, it's really hard. Because the people are talking, right? And you have no time to think. So, in my case, I have to think, but it's always trying to understand what the original means, which is hard, you know, and then think, well, it's always to make it accessible in good English or good whatever language it is. So, you know, Arthur Whaley, Arthur Whaley, he did all the early translations of the Chinese poets. The translations themselves are wonderful. You know, in themselves, they're good. You know, you can read them, and so I kind of follow that tradition, translating the essence, not the words. So, but you can't go too off. So I just kind of tried. It's difficult to be as literal as possible, but also make it as literary as possible. So that's the hard part. The literal translation is easy. He did this, he did that. But the nuances, that's the hard part. You have to be inspired, though. Yeah. And if you if you're not interested in something, you can't translate it. If it's business, you know, it won't work. But if it's something like this, then you have to. Yeah, as I said, channeling, communication, or it's also transforming you. Mm-hmm. When you're doing it, you have, you know, oh, that's what it really means. Because then writing it down and thinking about it, then you really understand it. And then some of these things, they have much more impact now on me. And I wrote the sentences, but I didn't see at the time. So, it's kind of like magic. I mean, if it's a really good book, it's what, you know, in a magical place. But so it ended up in a zombie movie. So.
I have another question.
Yes.
Can you like just speak something to the connection or the relationship between Buddhism and Aikido?
That's a loaded topic because I think they have nothing in common. I'm a Zen priest, and I can say this. Okay, so when I talk to Zen people, I do Zen talk. And Aikido meditation has nothing to do with Zen meditation. It's the exact opposite. And you can quote me. Okay? Because... I'm sorry, I get it.
Keep going.
Keep going?
What's the difference?
The whole thing in it's not this simple, of course, but you're emptying your mind, getting rid of stuff. And Aikido is the opposite, filling yourself. The sun, the moon, heaven, and the earth. So when we do meditation, we do first thing, breath of heaven. So all whatever out there, breath of heaven. So it's visualization. Close your eyes. Buddhism, you have your eyes half open. And I could you close your eyes and you imagine you're in Hawaii or wherever it is. And so breath of heaven. So also this way, all the way up as far as you can go, and then everything that's outside is inside, right? So back this way. Suhaku. So three times breath of heaven, then breath of earth, up this way like a boulder. And then the third element is return to the source, calm down, return to the source. And that's all the thing. The entire universe is here. You know, that power, the energy. So in the word for enlightenment in Aikido is sumikiri, perfectly clear. It's not waiting like a dewdrop. So that in our training, sometimes it happens, right? Things are perfectly clear. You know, bright, and it's a different than awakening. Okay? Mm-hmm. Different emphasis, and it's a different feeling. So I don't like to mix them. So if you're Zen people, I'll talk about Zen. I can do that. If you're Aikido people, I talk about Aikido. But I don't mix them at all. It's a different approach, which is fine, but and that's very controversial for me to say that, but yes.
So what passage is most influential for you today?
Today, I think this has not so much to do with it, but if you go to a sushi restaurant and you say, what's good? They say, get out. It's all good. We wouldn't serve anything. You know, it's true. So I mean, I can't really say, well, it's all good, you know? And pick one, okay. Let's see. Mm-hmm. I opened the key. Energy. Yeah, so that's a good sign. And then I do my glasses. The path of peace is exceedingly vast, reflecting the grand design of the hidden and manifest worlds. A warrior is a living shrine of the divine, one who serves the grand purpose. So we just talk the living shrine. The meditation is to go back to all of us are a living shrine. So it's a different feeling than all of us are Buddha. I had the Buddha nature, which is okay. But the word in Japanese is the old sense they use a lot. Living shrine. The spirit is here within us. Hito. The word hito means divine spark that stopped here. And that's a very different mindset than Zen. And, you know, in fact, well, since I hated Zen.
Yeah.
Hated. And he said, don't do Zen.
I don't
know. That, I should put that in here.
Yeah.
But there were other practices that a sensei had researched and explored.
He did tantra, yeah.
Integrated with Buddha, right?
And, yeah. And well, no, what he, you know, recently, this is last year, and I was thinking about the spiritual landscape of old sensei.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Tanabe, Kumano, Nachi Falls, Ayabe, the places he was. 42 was his great awakening, right? So I was thinking before, what about that? What up to 42?
Mm-hmm.
And that was last year. And I really went to the places, you know, and had the atmosphere. And Kumano is a very sacred place, but it's Shinto
mm-hmm.
and Tantric Buddhism. So that's what he studied. Yeah.
Tantric, right?
Yeah. Shingo. So there's the school, Jidoji, is in Tanabe. That's where he trained. And so it's, you know, especially in Kumano, Buddhism and Tantric Buddhism are mixed up completely. So that's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fire ceremony and the Tantric meditation. So there's no difference between the gods and the Buddhas in that part of Japan. So that really affected me. You know, there's gods and Buddhas everywhere. You know, the shrines and the trees, you know. And walking through the pilgrim trail and Nachi Falls in that fantastic waterfall.
Mm.
And there's a picture of Old Sensei standing, waterfalls behind him, you know, but there's a reason for that. And then Tanabe, there's a small little dinky town, but it's short. You know, it's kind of rough. And this the special, you know, quality of the light. And then he went to Hokkaido. Not Hokkaido, Hokkaido. And I kind of, I didn't get to go there, but that seems to be one, he was there for a few years. And it was in that period the Meiji government was trying to colonize, or you know, sending pioneers, and these people were from, you know, southern Japan. They sent in the coldest, so it was a complete failure, and there's nothing there anymore. But I think I still should go there to get the cold, maybe. And then he went to Ayabe, is a motokyo, and Ayabe is miserably poor, the founder, you know. But if you go to the place, Ayabe, it's unbelievable. That's the spirit there is so beautiful, it's so quiet. And they have a, you know, it was a shed, it was a, where she lived, where it started, it was in a, you know, a shed.
Hmm.
And miserably poor. But now when you go there, there's it's spotless and the beautiful buildings. And then that's when he, you know, age 42, when he said this dojo was there and doing all that. But so I get that there, that feeling. But don't, if you go to Ayabe, don't say you're an Aikido person. Say, because you're, go there to say I'm Onisabro. So that's what formed him, was first he's growing up in, you know, the outdoors, the sea, the mountains, you know, the gods and Buddhas are everywhere. You could really sense them. And then he went, I went to Mongolia, of course, and then that was when he, you know, that was his hell. Being attacked by, you know, bandits, and actually killed people there. So, and then come back, and then he was in the, you know, garden, age 42, and they had to I am the universe, we are the universe, and that was the beginning of Aikido.
Mm.
You know, like the beginning of Buddhism is not the enlightenment, it's when he came back. You know, enlightenment's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, the God said, you gotta go back. He said, no, I'm fine. They won't understand anyway. And no, that's a dialogue. And I said, okay, no, for the sake of many, for the welfare of all, you come back. So Buddha, coming back to the world is beginning of Buddhism. So also the same thing with Morihei. And I said, well, you know, it's one of the worst times in human history, right? I mean, World War II and all the destruction and death and misery. And he said the same, I didn't know, nobody's gonna understand what I'm talking about. So they didn't, right? Or they, you know, what is this crazy guy? And then that's why, oh, after the war, then Aikido changed a lot. The techniques didn't change much, but it's the interpretation. But you know, one of my books here, you can see that pre-war and post-war,
They're almost the same techniques. But he like he's a Taoist immortal in 15 years. He went from a tough guy and then from a like a god. So that's why I like the photographs. Also, you know, it's for proof. You know, I don't say this. Well, here's the photograph.
So, what material did you have to work with? Did you work with like recordings of a sensei, or like
a little bit? But you know, as I said, recently I was listening to one of the old tapes, and it was Morihei talking. I like to use the name Morihei because it's a Kototama, like the emperor only has one name, and the guy who's really cool, you only have Teshu or that. So it's not being disrespectful, but it's you got you know, it's they're so high above you can use that name. So, because people are using Morihei, and so that's it's a powerful name, you know, it's a powerful name in itself, and that's an ultimate respect, you know. So, it was, you know, it was an audio tape, and on it he says, everybody's saying Aikido this, Aikido that, none of it's Aikido. If you want to know what Aikido is, ask me. So that's what I'm trying to do. That's what this book was about, asking him. You know, now we have, I know, Aikido mixed up and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and all that stuff, cross-training, which I hate. And also, there should really only be one Aikido. We call our style classical Aikido, which is okay, but I wish there was only one Aikido instead of, you know, splintering all. And a lot of the groups are about you, with the teacher, right? And they split, right? They get something, they're off. It's so that the Hombu told me, he said, don't do that if you have students. Make sure they don't. And my teacher was really very close to the Aiki guy, the Ueshiba family. So that's why, there's all kinds of problems, you know. But, you know, you support your family. You don't want to give up on them.
In the book that's at your feet, that you wrote about Morihei, if I recall incorrectly from when I read it, you spoke about his use of the circle, square, triangle.
Yeah.
And I've only read about that from Terry Dobson and from Sao Tobi.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak about how you learned about that from, or how you got that?
Well, the Masakatsu, it means true victory, that's a triangle. So a triangle like this, and also a pyramid. And the physical part is, I have trouble getting up. This, the triangles, make sure I don't fall. Okay, catch me if I fall.
Sure.
Right.
Yes,
okay.
We're trained.
So the triangle stance, like that. So 60-60, like 60 degrees, 60. So this is the physical manifestation of the triangle. And then the circle, I'm going to do this very slowly. Yeah, but wait a second, can you help come forward a little bit? And can you move it back? So the circle is circular. I want you to hit your head. I'm going to turn all the way around. That's a circle. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the square is a pin. Okay. So that's the physical manifestation. Because when you pin, you're like, you have, you know, like this. So. Okay. Thank you. Crash system.
Yeah.
And but that, you know, that was my teacher. He always talked about that too. Triangle, circle, square. So triangle is actually a triangle, physical triangle, and then also a pyramid. You know, pyramid's very stable, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't knock it down. And then the circle is turning. Yeah. So it's ura in Japan in Aikido turning. Turning, spinning, or sphere, ball. Okay, so it's got two dimensions, right? Two dimensions and three dimensions. And a square, you know, is what's earth, water, earth, water, wind. What is it? The four elements.
Wind, fire.
Yeah. So that's also four, and it's square. So it's square, and also a cube. So you have to think about whether they're not separate, right? Really good. So true victory is a triangle, and then self victory is victory over the enemy's inside. Right? This is where the enemy is, not outside.
Right.
And then the square is control, or perfection, you know, the universe kind of things. So, like a stupa, you know, the way it's formed. And but this is not specific to Aikido, because this comes from, you know, way back, you know, in all places, right? They have triangle, circle, square. And so that's what they'd ask more, hey, what is Aikido? And say, Masakatsu, Agatsu, Katsu, Hayabi. Two victories, self victory, right here, right now. Can't go anywhere else, right? So the things you're always thinking about, you know, in the future or whatever, it's here. I think, you know, that's my take on it. But, you know, it's up to other people. And also explain it. You know, I travel a lot, and I used to go wherever I go in a foreign country. It's not really foreign. There's no foreign countries. But I said, well, okay, then you explain that in your idiom, you know, your language, and what your experience comes from. It has to be, right? So I'm not, I think it's good to know what the Japanese words mean, kind of. But, you know, just understand it, but it's up to you to make it, explain it in your way. That's what I was talking. You got to find your own technique. Mm-hmm. You, for you, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, this.
I believe there's a quote in that book, or one of the pages that I've opened to, and I actually treasure this book. It's there when I have a question before I know I have the question. And
a lot of people
have
told me that, yeah.
Through that, and then, oh yeah, yeah. And then it calls out that question, brings it to thought,
yeah,
to
yeah,
light.
It's amazing. Yeah.
And one that keeps returning to my wheelhouse or my sphere is that the wisdom of the world is contained in books. It always kind of struck me as scant.
No, what page, you know?
I don't.
No, I think it's something that it's to study the wisdom, yeah, the wisdom.
Studying the words of
the wise guys.
The wise,
yeah. So that's what it means, studying. So the important study means studying books, you know, and also nature, you know. So deep study, deep learning. Yeah. I think it's just something like that, isn't it?
By studying the words of the wise, countless new techniques
can
be
born. Yeah. So we're in a good place here. You can pick up any book. In Aikido, but in my experience, I'll be reading something and I'll write it down. It pertains to Aikido, especially if you go to churches or temples, you know, the stances. They've been doing Aikido. No, I went to Paris this year, and, you know, Chartres, the cathedral. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to go there. And usually I don't have a chance to do so. I went there, and it was just so wonderful. But the funny thing is that, you know, the Romanesque tower and the Gothic tower, there are two different towers there, and it was built over 30 years. It was like hodgepodge kind of things. You know, the north side, the north wing is higher than the south wing. And, you know, but the thing, it looks so wonderful. And it was just, you know, kind of jerry-built, actually. You know, the same windows. But I was seeing Aikido in the harmony. And all the people worked together. You know, they were fighting about, you know, how to construct it and this sort of stuff, but it worked. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think of Aikido. Because people, you know, complain. I complain. You know, why Aikido is supposed to be love and all this stuff and people hate each other? Mm-hmm. You know? And some... All right, sing you something.
We know.
Don't quote me.
Well, related to that, you know, I've been thinking a lot recently about how much does the practice of Aikido change people?
That is the $64,000 question. Do we say that still? Mm-hmm. That's all.
No? $64 million.
$64 million?
And
inflation?
How do you choose to have it change you?
It could change you.
It seems like it's a choice.
No, we had this conversation, yeah.
And a consciousness, and it's easy to fool yourself.
Sure is.
Really easy.
Yeah. That's why you should have a teacher you can trust.
Yeah.
But then the teacher might be an asshole. Yeah. Yeah. See, that's the end of my Aikido career.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm you know, Rachel was there yesterday. I don't know from... anyway, it's a long time friend from Israel. We had the same discussion. She says, you know, we talk about love and peace and all that stuff, and the people can't get around, can't stand each other.
It's amazing.
It's terrible, but it's amazing. It's true. And how to explain that? I don't really know. I just said the same, well, we can't worry about anybody else. We've got to be optimistic, you know. And
well, you know, one of the things that Terry Dodson said a few times, because he didn't like people to be too inflated by the fact that they practice this wonderful art. And he said, just be real. He said, you know, not everyone chooses this, but we do. And we're either more afraid or more angry than most.
Yeah.
Or both.
It's both, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to change.
And I think
it.
That choosing that path, those of us who do, we choose it for a particular reason. It's not, you know, there's a lot of paths. You can sit.
Yeah. No, that was just, you know, well, some people are great and some people are really, really jerks. I mean, really jerks. And dangerous, you know. And, so I could write a very negative book about Aikido. All these people, they did this and did that. But why? Why should I do that? You know? I know a lot of stuff because I was in Japan and I was part of the group. They never considered me a foreigner because I wasn't an outsider. I was an insider.
Oh, really?
That actually would be a good book. So I wanted, you know, emphasize this, and it, you know, it could be like it's only half the story, and I think I think the better half. Like all of us want to be remembered at our best. And that's what I tell my students. Okay, please remember me at my best. Everyone wants that, right? Because you just grow up, and you know, and then people see you a different way too. So you know, politics or promotions and all that kind of stuff happens, and then you know, then people say terrible things about you, that's the human realm, you know. But I should be above that, and you know, I write a lot of books, and people criticize them, and you know, I don't. The only one time I got really upset was somebody I knew, who thought was my student, criticized one of the translations, and that was about my teacher that I heard from him directly. He said, "No, that's wrong." But it was, you know, it was direct from him, and it wasn't wrong, you know. So, but otherwise, you know, it's. You know, pipsqueaks taking pot shots at their betters. Sorry. It's almost always that way. You know, if you reply to criticism, you just get to that over that level, yeah?
Right.
So, yeah. I think that says in here, right? You should never. Yeah, that's a nice one. I like that one. But, it says if you it brings you down, you know?
Yeah.
The body should be triangular, the mind circular. The triangle represents the generation of energy and is the most stable physical posture. We just do that, you know, standing like this. The circle symbolizes serenity and perfection. The source of unlimited techniques. Oh, and then the square stands for solidity, the basis of applied control. Yeah, so. Pin is control. I can't pin him down. I can't pin down the problem. That's exactly what it means. Yeah. Mm. Controlling pin. This is pretty good. And so the next one is keep your mind circular. Imagine a circle with a cross drawn through it. Place yourself at the center and stand there confidently in a triangular stance. Link yourself to the key of heaven and earth. Pivot around the front foot and guide your partner around that center. Mm-hmm. So that's practical, theoretical, philosophical, cosmic. Mm-hmm. That's Dragon King. The top one is Dragon. Mm-hmm. And King. Always try to be in communion with heaven and earth, and then the world will appear to its true light. Self-conceit will vanish, plus you can blend with any attack.
That was in Kayla's dojo yesterday.
Oh, yesterday? Oh, good. There's no place in the outer peace for pettiness and selfish thoughts. Rather than being captivated by the notion of winning or losing, seek the true nature of things. Your thoughts should reflect the grandeur of the universe, a realm beyond life and death. If your thoughts are antagonistic toward the cosmos, those thoughts will destroy you and wreak havoc on the environment. So, That was a big thing. You know, there are organic farmers. You know, the old Motoko people. And you know, it was New Age before New Age, and you know, make your clothing, and grow organic food, and have high thoughts. I got a, let me stop a tea bowl. I don't know if you know, anyway. But and it's scintillating tea bowl. And then it's the most fantastic thing. It's like the angel will come down and drink it. And holding it? It's, you know, it's like an electric shock from it. And it was made after the war, and like this was for world peace. And so he didn't do anything else, but he secluded himself and he made tea bowls, ceramic. And they're psychedelic. I mean, you could not believe what colors they have on it. And but that was his way of praying, you know, for things to get better. Mm. And you know, he was, Onisaba was Morihei's teacher, and then he was thrown in prison for 6 years, and for, you know, pacifism and all that, and then got released. And people around said, oh, you gotta sue the government. And you get millions. He said, no, the money will just come from the people. Forget it. Mm. Cool, huh?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. And he said, "This depends if it's deserved or lose." Because you know, it's just part of it was really evil, you know, and that's what. Well, he said it was Misogi too, right? Those terrible things happened, and then so he was forward-looking. Americans are okay; they come help us, reform all kinds of stuff. Very, very positive. And, but I thought that was noble, you know, mm-hmm. not suiting, and also that. Yeah, it's really, really something. So, beauty is religion is beauty. Mm. You know, art is religion. So, it really is true. You know, the way you live, the way you dress. Mm. And that's from Morihei. Yeah, by the influence. But so I'm actually changing now since I went to Kanabe in southern Japan. And went to all those places and made me understand more, you know, what he heard, what he saw, what he felt, what he was going on, you know, and the atmosphere. And Ayabe was really good. This Kamioka, which is the administrative center, but that's where Onisawa was born. But the founder of Motoko was born in Ayabe. And this is the can't stay. You know, so go there. But don't tell me you're like, you know. And there's nobody there, you know? Nobody goes up there, and then the gardens are spotless. But like one thing they ask when you come, they'll do a purification. Anyone can come, but you've got to, you know, say hello. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was last year, I guess. I went to the temple where he trained, and it was a mixture of Buddhism and Shintoism. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't Zen. Okay. Ayabe, oh, that's a picture there. That's okay. They can't tell from a picture. Thank you anyway. So, okay, come on. I should be angry with me by now. Okay. Shout out to Mook, please. Is that Ayabe? Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah. So he used to train in the mountains back here, and that's where we saw the tengus, and it's a really, really beautiful place.
Hmm. Sensei, could you speak a little bit about how Sensei's, you know, conversation or lessons or whatever that about the tengu and about the
well
mystic part?
Yeah, they didn't. Thank you. There's some talks, and I heard mostly from Shirada Sensei, because he heard it directly, yeah?
Right.
So, my teacher. And we didn't talk. Yeah, the dragon king, Aminomura Kumo, Kuki Samaharyo, his guardian angel and stuff like that. That's a little, that's hard, because it's a different generation, and you get into the words, but I do, a little bit, dragon king especially. But some things really are mystical. You can't explain it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all. I'm sorry. So that's why you do the chanting. It's a mantra, right? You do that because then you can feel it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And that I can't tell you, no matter how much I tell you. Yeah. So we always do that. But you know, you want to know what you're doing, kind of, to explain it. But a mantra, right? Who can explain that? You know, the sounds. So simple. But you know, all I got left out, because I still do that. You know, the meditation and all that stuff. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I was taught. But you know, it's got, people aren't busy, and they cut that out. Right? It takes about 15 minutes. You can do that. And they warm up, right, and do the techniques and finish. So, I like to talk, as you can tell. But I think the talking is part of the training. They're not two separate things. You know, because in the dojo, you should sit down sometimes and talk. And I'm okay with even taking notes. I mean, it's, you know, in the old days, they didn't take notes so much in the dojo, but as soon as they got off the mat, you take notes. So on the train back to Yamagata was about an hour where I was, and so I'd go on the train and train, you know. So on the way back, I take careful notes, and it's which really helped. Yeah. But that's where some of this came from.
Yeah.
Those notes that I just have. Yeah,
on
there
the
was
train.
On the train,
yeah.
Drinking cherry wine. Jeez, Yamagata is famous for cherry wine, so. Trained hard, okay? But then, you know, sitting in the train, and then, you know, he's thinking what happened, what you did that day. Mm-hmm. And you draw little diagrams. You know, that kind of stuff. So that's another place where it came. So. And it was real, too. I mean, it was fresh. And also I had time to... And also in the train. You know, the way it was moving.
Mm-hmm.
So on. Anyway, I hope the next book will be about the spiritual landscape with photographs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what really got me this time.
So, other than yourself, are there any other people that you think are good explicators of this?
No.
Any other? No.
Sorry. Sorry, there isn't. I'm not being modest either. But I mean, who's like me? I mean,
right.
It's not a big deal, but that's just the way I'm this way because that's the way I was taught. It's all this is from my teacher. That's all it is. And I felt, you know, he was great. He was in northern Japan. He had very few students. And I'd go there sometimes, and he'd be by himself. And he'd be sitting, you know, doing Qigong teaching. And he'd say, "Oh, Sensei, oh, you're here." He was always there. But there were times there was nobody was there. Yeah. And that's a teacher, right? And things he didn't mind. Yeah. If somebody came, they came. If they didn't, he was there, and he was just doing, you know, his internal Aikido and all that stuff. That's cool. So that's the image I have. I mean, smiling, and then, you know, talking about what we're talking about now. Same thing, you know. So he knew what he was talking about. And I'd go to his house sometimes. You know, when I was working on the books, we'd go look at the photographs and stuff. And you know, I've got all my stuff now. I'm trying to go through it, make an archives, and I have a tape of Sharad Sensei talking. I can't listen to it. I cry. I can't listen to one word. Like a transcript I can read, but I can't. I haven't been able, because it's like he's standing there. But I got to do something, because I think the tape's deteriorating, right?
Yeah.
And now I can put it on digital. It's the context. Like we go to the room. Sometimes it'd be winter. It's really cold there in Japan, in northern Japan. And we'd be sitting in a room like this and be talking. And I can see that and hear it in his deep voice. And then I gave a talk in Sydney years ago. It was a Zen art exhibition, and I gave a talk on national broadcasting radio, like NPR. And I thought it was lost, but I found it on the internet. And it was, a couple days ago. And then there was the transcript, which is pretty good, I thought. You know, I read that, and I heard my voice speaking. It was terrific. I'm sorry. It really was good. My young voice, and it was really nice to listen to. But it was much more powerful than the transcript. You know, so. I'm sorry, I'm really self-promoting here. So there's no self. But that, this is. It says, shut up. You talk too much. In extreme situations, the entire universe becomes our foe. At such critical times, unity of mind and technique is essential. Do not let your heart waver. That's good advice. And this is the character of Marshall. So how did this character get put here, you know? So.
Would you read that again, please?
Slowly?
Yeah. Okay.
In extreme situations, the entire universe becomes our foe. At such critical times, unity of mind and technique is essential. Do not let your heart waver. It's a challenge. So sometimes everybody's against us, right? Sometimes you feel in your life everybody's against you. We've all had that experience, right? Sometimes you think nothing's going right and everybody's against you. So do not let your heart waver. I didn't like them.
Yeah.
I'd like them all. You know. When someone comes in anger, greet him with a smile. That is the highest kind of martial art. That's what I'm just talking about, my teacher. It was a wonderful smile. Mm. That's what I remember. Mm. You know. And I asked him what he remembered most about Mordechai. And he said the way he looked when he prayed. Mm. You know, he could, you know, throw everybody around and, you know, do all this fantastic stuff, but that's what he remembered of all those years. So I thought that was really something.
Did he say any more about that? What he saw?
No, that's what he said. I said, what do you remember most? This is what somebody asked, what do you like, you know, quotation you like the most? And he said, well, I asked him that, the way he prayed. You know, what he did, I like when he bowed in. Mm. And that's kind of what I like about Sensei, because he, you know, when he bowed in, he was really saying hello, really, to that person, you know. So it wasn't, you know, like this, but it was really, you know. That's what I remember too about him. He was really sincere. You can't, you know, it was perfunctory at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just, so that's changed me, you know, last couple of years. And, you know, I was pretty sick for a while. And so that was my training partner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And blending with it, you know, hurt like hell. Mm-hmm. Anyway, pain. You know, pain is, I don't know, getting used to it. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry to talk about me, but I learned a lot from that. And, you know, so getting old, getting sick, dying, and then being separated from the ones you love. Those are the four challenges. And it's getting separated from the ones you love is the worst. Yeah. That is the worst by far. Because you can kind of, you get old, you get old, and you get sick, and you get really sick, and you die, run and die, no problem. Well, that's a big problem. And then being separated from the ones you love, that's the hardest. That's the hardest. So that's why you go to the dojo. Good days, bad days. Mm. You know, and you should go, when these things are really bad, that's when you should go. And there's always a reason not to go. But it's your anchor. And so it's a wonderful thing, you know. Even if everybody, you know, whatever they do and how mean they are or what, you know, forget it. You know, it's easy for me to say now because I'm old. No, it's a real serious question. Why doesn't it seem to affect? Why doesn't it make these people any better? But some people are terrible. I mean, really terrible. Like you, I mean, people personally, you know, that you would never associate. With otherwise, but if you're a teacher or head of an organization and stuff, you have to put up with it. Which
I'm very interested in this idea of your next book of the spiritual landscape.
Landscape, yeah.
Can you share any like preparatory thoughts about?
No, that's just what I've been talking about now. So I just went last year, you know. So I've been thinking a lot about that, the environment. You know, I live near the ocean, and the sound of the waves. Is Kototama, which, yeah. So my son and I were talking about that. It becomes part of your being. I'm really lonely if I can't hear that. It's always, you know, high tide, low tide. And that's since I've been living in Hawaii. I get that. It's the Kototama of the universe, right? So that's just become part of my being. And I think the same thing with Osensei in the that part of Japan. just has a different vibe, and it had much deeper impact on him than we usually think of. Because, you know, for age 42, he was old sensei, right? It changed. But before that, he was, you know, like us. Mm-hmm. And
do we know very well what he was doing, like, as a 42-year-old, like, what he was reading? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was doing a motokyo, and then he was, he was in Mongolia, and they had all these, you know, adventure, like, it was like Indiana Jones, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of, that kind of stuff. And when he came back, there was a transformation. At age 42, and he was, you know, people were attacking him, he was getting out of the way, and all of a sudden, you know, the gold light, and, you know, the usual stuff. For ligament. But the realization was but Waga means I, and also you, us. So we are the universe. And then I could hear the, you know, and the true meaning of Budo martial arts is love and fostering and harmony and all that stuff. So that was the experience, and that's the beginning of Aikido. And before that was the preparation. So that's what I'm interested in now. You know, what led up to that. And the, you know, it was kind of like bipolar, we'd say today. Mm. He had I don't say issues, but he had, you know, he'd lose his temper, really lose his temper, and then, but I mean, you know, it's like all of us. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was really the waterfall, you know. The thing was, it's alive. It really is alive. You know, we've had the experience here in America, right? Some California, some pretty beautiful places, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like Four Corners. Mm-hmm. You know, I really like that. If that's the second place I'd like to live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sedona? You in Sedona? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sedona and Hopi and Navajo. And I think that's the landscape's alive. Yeah. But it's the exact opposite of Hawaii, you know. Exactly. But we, you know, we have those. So we can find them here, you know. But anyway, for me, that's just a kind of combination, you know, all these years of research, and I sort of went there, and I understood it. Before, I wouldn't understand it, you know. And it still has a deep impact on me. So I'm trying to digest it, you know. And it was there, and then visualize it, and then try to write about it. But I don't know if I can. But I took a lot of photographs, which it's. And I don't like video. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't like the video stuff. I like pictures, okay. But even then, you know, you go anywhere in the world, and somebody's going like this. They don't even look at the object, right? Don't look at it at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's puzzling. Why do you go someplace then? That's, you know, that's changing young people too, right? I'm sorry, the computer and that. It wires your brain, you know. It didn't wire your brain so much. No? Or hasn't?
I'm working on it.
Okay, I'm. Believe it or not, I'm talked out. See, what are we?
This is a good time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you so much on behalf of Many Rivers Books and Tea. I want to remind everyone here that we have lots of three different editions of this particular book and other books here as well, all but simply a smattering of your output over the years, but nevertheless, a number of other books. We have a donation bowl over there, Buddhist custom of dana, or generosity.
We share
the contents of the bowl with our speakers to further their work and retain the other half to maintain this space for further such events. Thank you all for coming tonight, and come back again when you can actually get to some of the books. Although I did turn around the Aikido sections, right? So that was Jim's idea. Credit where it's due. So thank you all.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna sign books. So
all right.
Thank you.
Can I take this thing off before I lose my job? Yeah.
Do you have a sign pen, Tim? Do you have like a Fude pen? A Japanese brush pen?
No, I do not.
Bob, did you bring a pen? Sign pen?
I have a pen, but not a brush pen.
Oh, okay.
Okay, can I use this?
I'll
use
yes,
it.
Please. Please use it.
Whoa.